Lord, as we have read and heard this morning in Jesus' parable, and Lord, we just pray and hope that we will always be found, and we are, when the time comes, that we'll be with the sheep, that we have done what Christ has offered us to do. But Lord, we know it is a challenge, and we pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, that we may be your hands and feet, that we may reach out to those in need and recognize them, that we may minister in your name here on earth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever entered an unfamiliar building, such as a mall or office building or something, and sought out a directory to locate the place where you are going? If you have, then you know that you first have to determine your current location on the directory. And it's often indicated by the words, "You are here," with either a big X or an arrow. And we need to find that in order to decide the best route to our desired location. And for those of us who are a little bit tech savvy, when driving and using GPS to guide us, a pin drops on the map marking our current location or indicating a destination, orienting us in space. These pins represent where we are and where we hope to go. And we anticipate that our trip does not involve too many recalculating side trips. This year's theme for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering is, "You are here." In the New Testament, Paul's letters remind us that as members of the church, we are so closely connected that we can think of ourselves as part of one big body. The New Testament constantly refers to followers of Jesus not as Christians, but as a family, as brothers and sisters. Many churches live out this when someone is ill or in mourning, or facing a crisis. You show up if you're a member of that church, the body. You are there for your loved ones in need. You show that love in tangible ways with calls and cards, with hugs and spoken words of prayer. These acts let your brothers and sisters in Christ know that you are present with them. They know that they are not alone because you are beside them. Perhaps you have been through a diagnosis and treatment for a serious illness or suffered the unimaginable sorrow, and your church, your family, has been there to let you know that you are not forgotten in your troubles. When someone you love suffers, all of our truest words and most loving actions simply declare, "I am here." The Bible tells us that God is like us in this respect. When one of God's beloved children suffers, God declares, "I am here." God hears the cries of the poor and the oppressed. God is near to the brokenhearted and is close to all who call God's name. The promise that God will be with us is a constant refrain from Genesis to Revelation. Throughout the entire Bible, we see this, that God is always with us. When we see the latest tragedy on the news, we might ask, "Where are you, God?" But we already know the answer, that God is here and God is there in the midst of those who are hurting. When Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats that we read and heard earlier, he reveals to us a mystery. God is most tangibly present in the world where people hunger, thirst, lack adequate clothing and shelter, and are sick or imprisoned. Christ claims as family members all people who suffer, and says that he is so present in them that when we feed the hungry, when we care for the sick, When we welcome the stranger, we feed, care for, and welcome Christ. Something else that we learn through Scripture is that we should not focus just on those in our own church family or even our extended family of Christians. Instead, we should reach out to anyone in need, anywhere in the world. These are our sisters and brothers. They are our children. They're part of humanity. Their needs might seem different than the person we worship next to on Sunday morning, but our tangible gifts declare the same message. I am here. I care. I'm with you. By reaching out to those who suffer from natural disasters, war, or systemic poverty, we let them know that they are not forgotten. Even when the need seems far from here, by acting together as a body of Christ, we are able to be there for these members of Christ's family. We show them love with gifts of rice and oil. We are present by providing well pumps for clean water and seeds and training for sustainable agriculture. Through medical kits, school supplies, temporary shelters, and safe housing, we show up when people are in need. In the midst of suffering, we may ask, where is God? God is here. Where are you? When you give to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, you are here also. People who have been helped by this offering frequently say, you were here after the flood, the earthquake, the fire. This is the only one of our four annual mission offerings that is shared with other denominations and allows the extended church to show up and be here when people are in need, in time of crisis, and in time of calm. Because the One Great Hour of Sharing works with congregations and organizations that are on the ground with deep roots in affected communities, we can be present quickly and stay for the long term. This means that after the news cycle has moved on to the next hot spot, the next disaster, you are still here, helping people rebuild their lives. The One Great Hour of Sharing offering makes the love of Christ real for individuals and communities around the world who suffer the effects of disaster, conflict, poverty, or severe economic hardship, and for those who find themselves as refugees or displaced within their home country. You heard a little bit about the history of the One Great Hour Sharing earlier during the mission moment, and I'm going to highlight a little bit, and you may hear a few words similar to what we heard before, but from its beginning in the late 1940s, the One Great Hour Sharing offering has always been an ecumenical effort. Today, this offering serves people in over 80 countries around the world. It's sponsored by 9 Christian U.S. denominations and Church World Service. This offering makes sure that we can respond to needs as soon as they happen and that tens of thousands of people receive support for ongoing relief, rehabilitation, and development. The purpose of the One Great Hour of Sharing has remained the same, to collect special gifts to assist those in need. Contributions to this offering make a difference in the lives of people. Church World Service, with overseas partners, are often the first on the scene following a disaster of natural or human origin. The needs of the people are identified and priorities are set to bring long-term solutions that will improve the quality of life for individuals and communities around the world. Last year was another year punctuated by many continued human-made disasters. We can just think of Syria, Iraq, Ukraine, Nigeria, and South Sudan as just a few examples. These situations have uprooted millions of people. According to the United Nations High Commission on Refugees, at the end of 2015, there were over 65 million people who were refugees, displaced in their own country, or seeking asylum. 65 million people. That's the highest number since records on the displaced have been kept. Our gifts to the One Great Hour of Sharing brought relief in many of these situations. I want to summarize how our gifts to this offering let people know that we are here, that we are with them. For example, just last year, around the world, we helped provide relief from floods and hurricanes, a tornado, earthquake, and a cyclone. We also offered assistance for refugees, asylum seekers, and those experiencing civil conflict. Here at home in the United States, we helped provide relief from floods, storms, tornado, and hurricane. We also supported those who suffered from the Flint, Michigan water crisis in acts of arson and during a plant shutdown in one community. In addition to emergency relief, because One Great Hour is often thought of as the disaster offering, but in addition to the emergency relief, this offering last year provided funds for development projects. Projects which address chronic needs in countries around the world, as well as several states here in this country. Christ is here, and he calls us to also be present to those in need. As we read in this morning's call to worship from the first letter of John, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? That's the question, and the answer comes in the next verse. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. When God's love is here, abiding within us, we cannot help but respond generously with our worldly goods. Through your gifts, you are here to people around the world and in our own backyards, wherever there is a need. Let's pray together. Christ, we hear the world crying. There are so many who are hungry and thirsty, who are sick, imprisoned, and lonely. Some that need clothing as well, O God, and shelter. At times, Lord, we just feel so dizzy from all the need that is there. And we know, O God, that you have not called us to meet everyone's need, but that to have compassion for those whom we can help. Lord, we have focused on the One Great Hour of Sharing offering today, one that whose funds we share with other denominations as we reach out to meet the needs both in our own country and around the world. Lord, we pray that we may be Christ's hands and feet and voice in our own way, that we may reach out, that we may be, as Christ said, that we may minister to the least of these who are part of his family. Lord, help us to look for our brothers and our sisters in need and help to meet those needs. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.